This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Mattis is leaving. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Friday, December 21st, thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Defense Secretary James Mattis is resigning at odds with President Trump's decision to draw back troops from Syria and now Afghanistan.
The House approves a stopgap spending measure with border wall funding to avoid a government shutdown tonight, but it likely won't pass the Senate.
London's Gatwick Airport is reopened after chaos from drones forced it to close for more than 24 hours.
And how today's job market is creating opportunities for ex-convicts.
He tried to get jobs when he got out. And when things weren't available to him or when his status prevented him from getting a job, he went back to what he knew. And what he knew was life on the streets. And when you got to pay rent, the life of the streets are always there.
Wall Street Journal reporter Zolan Kano Young's on killers and drug dealers landing jobs in today's market. Two items of note on the war front. First, President Trump announced the drawdown of many troops from Afghanistan. Then, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said he would resign at the end of February because his views no longer aligned with the president's. Mr. Mattis told the president he would quit during a White House meeting yesterday after expressing concern about the president's surprise call to rapidly withdraw more than 2,000 U.S. troops from Syria, as well as the prospect of beginning to withdraw as many as half the 14,000 troops now in Afghanistan in a matter of weeks. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
The president always listens to the members of his national security team, but at the end of the day, it's the president's decision to make. He was the one that was elected to be president, to be the commander-in-chief.
Military officials fear the moves could lead to the reemergence of Islamic State or like-minded groups in countries where the military has made heavy investments. The House passed a stopgap spending measure last night to fund the government that includes $5 billion for a border wall sought by President Trump. But the bill is expected to be rejected in the Senate and does little to prevent a shutdown as the clock strikes midnight tonight. The Senate on Wednesday passed a funding bill that does not include border wall money. The Senate will now have to consider the House version before midnight today to avert a partial government shutdown. Here's House Majority Whip Steve Scalise.
Are we going to stand with the president and say we're going to give you the tools to secure the border or not? It's a straight up vote. You're either for border security or you're against border security.
Democrats are expected to block the measure in the Senate. Republican senators need Democratic help to get 60 votes for passage. With Senate rejection expected, the House can either pass the so-called clean spending bill already passed by the Senate or to let the government shut down, as Mr. Trump recently said he would be proud to do. China's foreign ministry is firing back at the U.S. today, accusing Washington of wholesale fabrication. The response comes after the U.S. and other allies criticized China for economic espionage. Beijing wants the allegations dropped. Federal indictments unsealed by the Trump administration yesterday brought criminal charges against two Chinese nationals, alleging they stole sensitive information from Western businesses and government agencies in a campaign led by China's intelligence service. FBI Director Chris Wray.
The cyber equivalent of breaking into a house. This is more like breaking into and getting the keys from the maintenance supervisor who has keys to hundreds and hundreds of apartments and all the residents in those apartments.
Although the U.S. has indicted Chinese military and intelligence officers on hacking charges before, the campaigns in those cases were narrower in scope. In this new development, the U.S. coordinated with allies. In fact, the UK went a step further and explicitly attributed the hacking to Chinese authorities. It's 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Welcome into Friday. Americans have gotten heavier and thicker in the 21st century, with the numbers on the scale going up for men and women of all ages. That's according to a new federal report released yesterday by the National Center for Health Statistics. And while that may be disappointing news, the more alarming news is what these numbers are doing to our overall health. We're joined now by Jane O'Donnell, healthcare policy reporter at USA Today. Jane, what's up here?
Well, as almost anybody would have guessed, we are getting bigger, and our waistlines, for women in particular, grew more than 2 inches between 1999 and 2016, and men's grew about 1 inch, a little over 1 inch. The average weight grew a fair amount, about 10 pounds, and men, middle-aged men, shrunk by half an inch.
This, I guess, is tied to our sedentary lifestyle, right? Is there anything else, and we just haven't made the adjustments?
Well, it's our sedentary lifestyle. I'm not a doctor, but what I'm hearing from a lot of people, and I quoted three people in the story, and I know lots of other people, and I think we all do, that a lot of stress eating. You know, it's been well documented now. There's more people are describing being anxious. The stress is so high. Workforces are being cut. Jobs are being, people are working two jobs.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more stress eating. When you think about addictions, I hear from people, I've done a lot on opioids and alcohol recently, but you know, I know a lot of people that aren't addicted to any of those, but they're eating a bag, literally like a bag of M&Ms at night, like they just sit and eat like that, and then hate themselves in the morning. So
right.
It does sound a little bit like addiction.
Jeez. And I think what's so stunning here, too, is that, you know, we can all say, yep, we're bigger, thicker, we're heavier and all that other stuff, but the trickle down in terms of the health aspects here are just startling.
Yeah, when you think about the healthcare costs, I did a story about a year and a half ago where obesity was approaching tobacco when it comes to the association with cancer, the risk to the cancer-causing elements. So you've got, you know, cancer costs, heart disease, so many other diseases are caused by obesity. And, you know, there's, of course, the healthy food is more available. I mean, where I live, there's a million places to get a salad, but you go to certain parts of Washington, D.C., which I live near to, and, you know, everything is fried food.
Yeah.
And so people, you know, it's much easier to get a dollar hamburger than it is to buy a salad, much cheaper.
Jeez. We're speaking with Jane O'Donnell, healthcare policy reporter at USA Today. She's written a piece entitled, If You Think Americans Are Getting Fatter, well, guess what? You're right. They are. We are. It's a new study. How about awareness? I mean, are we more aware that this is the case and we're still not addressing it?
Yeah, I think we're more aware of it, but we're also, I think we're just getting used to it. You know, it's meant a lot of women's sizes are now bigger. I mean, so as I get older, I may have put on a few pounds, but I'm also wearing a smaller size. They're trying to make us feel better about our size. But it is kind of amazing because there's so much publicity about the benefits of exercise. I did a piece a few months ago on the fitness guidelines. You know, so few of us are meeting the fitness guidelines, and people just don't. I personally made it. I walk an hour in the morning, and I'm trying to do an unlimited Pilates membership and trying to go like 3, 4, 5 times a week.
Wow.
But a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't realize that there's a mental health benefit, too. I literally feel better if I'm walking my dog in the woods than if I didn't.
I'm with you. And also, I mean, we keep getting singled out as Americans, right? I mean, I think there are other parts of the world who are gaining like we are, but not at our pace, it seems.
Right, not until at least they start getting more of our fast food chains. And that's been one of the complaints. There's a really interesting study I saw a few years ago where Hispanics and people from the Haiti's and the island countries, how much less healthy and heavier they get the longer they stay in the United States when they were eating their healthier foods. Because, I mean, basically black beans and rice, brown rice in particular, is a really healthy diet.
Thanks, Jane. Jane O'Donnell, healthcare policy reporter at USA Today. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to the Pentagon is developing plans to withdraw up to half of the 14,000 U.S. troops serving in Afghanistan, marking a sharp change in the Trump administration's policy aimed at forcing the Taliban to the peace table. President Trump has long pushed to pull troops out of Afghanistan, considering the war a lost cause. But earlier this year, he was persuaded by Defense Secretary James Mattis and other military leaders to keep troops on the ground to pressure the Taliban and battle a stubborn Islamic State insurgency. This news came soon after Mattis tendered his resignation after clashing with President Trump over the abrupt withdrawal of U.S. troops from Syria. Mattis, perhaps the most respected foreign policy official in Trump's administration, will leave by the end of February after two tumultuous years struggling to moderate the president's hard line and sometimes sharply changing policies. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi.
You have leaders, great leaders, who have left the administration in dismay, and the rest of them have left in disgrace. And that's what this administration has been about.
Mattis told Trump in a letter that he was leaving because you have a right to have a Secretary of Defense whose views are better aligned with yours. Federal officials say two Chinese hackers carried out an extensive campaign on behalf of Beijing's main intelligence agency to steal trade secrets and other information from government agencies and major corporations in the U.S. and nearly a dozen other nations. FBI Director Christopher Wray.
The list of victim companies reads like a who's who of the global economy, from biotechnology, agriculture, to healthcare, from oil and gas exploration to NASA.
The indictment is the latest in a series of Justice Department criminal cases targeting Chinese cyber espionage. Don't know why you're not saving enough money? It could be that you're eating out too much. A new survey from Fidelity finds that 25% of us confess to dining out too much, while 29% say eating out was this year's top budget buster. One problem? People who eat out a lot tend to underestimate what this will cost them. Government data show that in 2017, we spent more than $3,300 on dining out, a 6.7% increase from 2016.
You know what the killer is, too?
What's that?
A couple glasses of wine.
Oh, well.
Oh, man.
You got to bring your own.
40% of your food bill.
Got to only go to places you can bring your own.
Agreed on that. Can you talk to my wife for me? It's 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Year after year, in survey after survey, money rises to the top as the number one reason Americans are stressed out. A look at the latest survey to see how pervasive this is from Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch. Katie, explain.
Money. I mean, this is according to a million surveys. Money is the biggest source of stress. The newest one shows that it was the, this is from Northwestern Mutual, shows that money was the dominant source of stress for 44% of Americans. That was followed by 25% who said personal relationships. So, you know, even though it's the holidays and you and your mom are, you know, going at each other's throats, still money is way more stressful than personal relationships, and just 18% said work. The American Psychological Association, same thing. Money has been their number one stressor for, like, more than a decade at this point. I mean, it's just, money stress is widespread, and you think, you know, the economy is doing pretty well, but this is still stressing people out.
And you know what, too? I wonder, with that, with the personal relationships, I wonder if you break a lot of them down, it doesn't come down to money also.
That would not surprise me. I think you probably are very much onto something, right? Especially when money is stressful for one person, it just seeps over, right?
Yeah.
And especially at this time of the year, you got to put the present buying and the traveling to go see people, and you're like, I spent all this money, I'm not even having fun. I mean, you know, it goes into a troubling area.
I might be relating to that this year, or I might know someone. Just saying. So, but your larger point in the story here is just, I mean, how damaging this can be to you physically and mentally.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing that people don't realize. I'm stressed out about money. Oh, it's just stress. But, you know, there are multiple surveys and studies that show that money stress actually contributes to a whole host of health issues. A big one here is depression and anxiety. So people with greater financial stress have more symptoms of depression, more symptoms of anxiety than those who aren't. And it's, you know, it triggers sleeplessness, anxiety, depression, and that happens quite frequently when you're stressed out about money. A lot of people, I think it was 60% of workers who had money stress, that they also had anxiety, sleeplessness, and sometimes even depression.
Yeah. I must say, I may be alone or in the minority, but I create my own financial stress sometimes with the decisions I make. This is no doubt about it. And so I look at the bill, I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? But I mean, I've created my own stress, and I admit it.
Well, this is the time of year that you're going to create your own financial stress, right? Because you're like, oh, this present, it's fine. I'm going to get this person something else. And then all of a sudden, right, I think something like 25% of people are still paying off their credit card debt from 2017 now. So from their holiday credit card debt. So we're talking about, you buy a bunch of things with your credit card and you're like, oh, you know it's happening. It's stressing you out. You're still doing it. And you're probably still paying it out off a year later.
Right. We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch. She's got a piece about the number one reason and Americans are so stressed out, and it is not a surprise that it is money. I didn't realize, too, the financial stress can be tied to migraines.
Yeah, a big study. There's a certain genetic variation in this something called the clock gene, but about a third of people have this variation, and they get way more migraines in times of financial stress. So, yeah, I mean, these are things directly. They're looking at genetics, financial stress, how it all relates, and we're seeing, more migraines.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch. She is based in New York. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits. You can learn how to invest as you build your portfolio with the easy-to-use Robinhood platform. Discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds. Even get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at gordon.robinhood.com. That's gordon.robinhood.com.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, December 21, Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Defense Secretary James Mattis is resigning. Trump withdrawing troops from Syria and Afghanistan. House passes a spending plan with border wall funding, but it's not expected to survive a Senate vote today. Winter solstice today, so winter officially begins. Bad weather could cross up travel plans today. Busy day for movie releases, including Aquaman hitting theaters, and how some people get even with phone scammers. That story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Contact michiganbusiness.org. Finding gainful employment is the most effective deterrent to falling back into a life of crime. But felons have long been some of the last candidates in the hiring pool. Now, with one of the tightest labor markets in decades, some employers say they're more willing to consider applicants with criminal histories. It's a story by Wall Street Journal reporter Zolan Kano-Youngs. Zolan, what have you found?
So about a year ago, I met this guy, Barry Green, and he had just been released from prison. He had done a 24-year bid for murder. And I was talking to this guy, and, he was very optimistic about his chances of getting employed. And from what I had seen, I feel like we always hear about the struggles that these guys who serve their time and then get out have when it comes to getting employed. So then I look and I see that there's been cities and states, including New York, that have, enacted recent legislation to remove the box, aka remove the question of someone's prior felony status or criminal history from applications, and similar legislation to give these guys a fair chance. I ended up documenting the journeys of five guys in total. Then, of course, we have kind of the overall news here, which is there's a tight labor market. And by tight labor market, of course, we mean that the unemployment rates are going down, and there's a lot of jobs available, a lot of labor positions, which you know see in the piece that a lot of the employers, including Koch Industries, talk about. Because so many people have jobs right now, there's not a large candidate pool to take those jobs.
I'm only guessing here, but I can't imagine how relieved some of these guys are.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Randy Rosa, to me, his narrative is, and he's the third person in our story, he's somebody that I think encapsulates the pitfalls that one can encounter when they're not employed after being released. This is a guy that for 35 years was either unemployed, on the run, in prison, or on probation. Oh. Each time he got out, and I think it was about four different times that he was incarcerated and arrested and imprisoned, and he will tell you it was his own mistakes as well, and it, you know, his own, you know, his bad choices. But also, he tried to get jobs when he got out, and when things weren't available to him, or when his status prevented him from getting a job, he went back to what he knew, and what he knew was life on the streets. Mm. And when you got to pay rent and you got to support relatives, the life of the streets are always there.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Zolan Kano Youngs. He covers New York law enforcement. He's got a piece entitled "Tight Job Market Opens Door for Ex-Convicts." Can't imagine, right, doing 2 months and having that gap on your resume. But some of these guys, and as you mentioned, 24 years behind bars, a combination of 35 years, you know, as you mentioned, on the run, on the streets, behind bars. I mean, what do employers say here about taking on guys like this?
I thought that was actually one of the more interesting aspects of this reporting. Obviously, it's great to follow these guys around, but, you know, thanks to my editors, you know, I was also pushed to go get some employer voices. And, you know, when you hear someone from Koch Industries, who I'm not sure if the general public would, you know, go ahead and say, whoa, you know, rightly assume that the Koch brothers are all about hiring, you know, these guys who, you know, did all this time for these violent crimes. But they are, you know, both because of the need for labor positions. But it's also a bit nuanced, because I also talked to employers who said, hey, yeah, it's all well and good to say these guys need a second chance, but we also have other employees, you know, in our office that we're responsible for the well-being of those employees. And if you've got a candidate that has committed murder.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you've got another candidate with the same qualifications and they haven't committed murder, and you've got a bunch of coworkers, and you don't know if those coworkers have ever been mugged and what trauma they might have. That's all stuff you got to think about, too.
Thanks, Zolan. It's Wall Street Journal law enforcement reporter Zolan Kano Youngs. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Don't forget, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. Well, fasten your seatbelts. The final 2 weeks of the NFL season are upon us. Here's a brief snapshot of what's happening. The highest scoring teams are suddenly struggling or in precarious positions. League-wide scoring, once comfortably above 24 points per team per game, an all-time high, has now cratered to 23.4 points. And the three lowest scoring weeks of this season have been the past 3 weeks. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Beaton. Andrew, set this up.
What's super interesting is, if you think back to the beginning of this NFL season, everything seemed to really fall in place in a certain way. Offenses were dominating. They were making it look like defenders were mannequins who were on the field and didn't really matter. You watched the Rams play. You watched the Chiefs play. It looked like nobody would ever be able to stop them. Now, fast forward to the end of the season, a season in which, at points records were just being shattered.
Yeah.
Some of the things we seem to know at the beginning of the season all of a sudden don't seem so true. The Chiefs once looked like they were going to take the league by storm. They're still really good, but they might not even be the best team in their own division now that they're tied with the Chargers,
right,
who are on an incredible run of their own. And so the team that we thought would be basically competing for home field throughout all of the playoffs, they still might get that, but they also might not win their own division. You look at the Rams, another team. They won that incredible 54-51 shootout against the Chiefs,
yeah,
a game that seemed to embody everything about the modern NFL: passing, creative play calling, offense. And now that same explosive Rams offense is really struggling. They've lost a couple in a row. They are giving up a ton of points. Jared Goff, who looked like an MVP candidate, has thrown 6 interceptions without a touchdown in the last couple games. And a team that was widely hailed as a favorite looks like a team that's struggling now.
Boy.
And so all these things that seemed like they were on a really straight path to being fun, to being dominant, now we don't even know how true they are.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Beaton. His piece is called The NFL Soap Opera is Ready for Its Twist Ending. You point out, too, like scoring's down, like despite what like the Rams and Chiefs have done on kind of separate occasions here. We're not scoring as much?
Well, you know, the Chiefs still have an amazing offense. The Rams, their offense has looked less amazing. Goff has struggled. Running back Todd Gurley has hit a funk. He's a little banged up right now. And these last 3 weeks of the season have actually been the lowest 3 weeks, scoring 3 weeks of the year so far. And, you know, you could try and assign a number of different answers to it. You could say it was just bound to come back down after a historic start. You could say maybe defenses are finally catching up to what's doing. Maybe the cold weather makes it more difficult to pass the ball the way teams were passing it early in the season. But for whatever reason, we're seeing those teams that were, some of these teams that were putting up huge, unprecedented offensive numbers, they've been struggling to do that.
How about the Saints and Patriots right now, their status?
Well, so the Saints are super interesting because they had an offense that earlier in the year was even better than the Rams and the Chiefs. And they, too, have struggled to score the ball in the last few weeks. But unlike those other teams, they've started playing incredible defense. And so that's why, despite all of this, the Saints are 12-2. They have the best record in the NFL. And even when they scored only 12 points on Monday night, they still beat the Panthers 12-9. Their defense has been the best in the NFL over the last 6 weeks. And they're sort of the team that's pivoted most successfully and said, you know, maybe if we can't score as much, we can still win a not-so-pretty defensive game. It's not exactly what you think of when you think of the Hallmark Saints teams that like to play track meets and run up and down the field and beat you in a shootout. But it's working for them.
Yeah.
And when you bring up the Patriots, I mean, the Patriots are kind of the most baffling team of all. You know, it seems like at the beginning of every NFL season, the Patriots will lose a game. Maybe they'll lose 2 games. And there's this big freak out, like, oh, my God, is this the end of the Patriots dynasty? Is this Patriots team finally vulnerable?
Right.
And this usually happens in September. And then by the time we're in December, we think back and think, man, I can't believe we ever doubted the Patriots. That was incredibly silly. Why would you ever doubt the Patriots? But this season, the strange thing is, they've lost 2 straight games in December. They haven't done that since 2002.
It's an incredible stat. Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Beaton. It's 12 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for 4 straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Thanks for spending time with us and welcome into Friday. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to President Trump's demand for border wall funds is hurling the federal government closer to a shutdown as House Republicans approved a package with his $5.7 billion request that is almost certain to be rejected by the Senate. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy spoke after last night's vote.
What was it, a week ago when Schumer said he would support $1.6 billion to continue border security, and now he wants to change course just to shut the government down? I think that's wrong.
Democratic Congressman Tim Ryan of Ohio says his party is not to blame.
The Secretary of Defense is gone. We're pulling out of Syria. What is going on? You are in charge of the House, Senate, and White House. Get a grip and learn how to govern the country.
More than 800,000 federal workers will be facing furloughs or forced to work without pay if a resolution is not reached before funding expires at midnight tonight. In a major Trump administration win, some migrants seeking asylum in the U.S. will now wait in Mexico as they await an immigration judge to rule on their case. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen says asylum seekers will be sent back.
Individuals arriving in or entering the United States from Mexico illegally or without proper documentation may be returned to Mexico for the duration of their immigration proceedings.
Asylum seekers had been allowed to live in the U.S. while wearing ankle monitors as they waited for an immigration court date. Flights resumed at London's Gatwick Airport this morning after drones sparked the shutdown of the airfield for more than 24 hours, leaving tens of thousands of passengers stranded or delayed during the busy holiday season. The prospect of a deadly collision between drones and an airliner led authorities to stop all flights in and out of Britain's second busiest airport. He's an actor, comedian, and huge sports fan. And now Billy Crystal will be acting on his fandom by joining a Clippers broadcast for the January 31st game against the Lakers. Play-by-play man Ralph Lawler is retiring at the end of the season after 40 years as the voice of the Clippers. And Crystal is one of many notable names joining him on broadcast to pay tribute. Crystal has been a Clippers season ticket holder since 1985.
Yeah, should be entertaining.
I'm sure it will be.
He probably knows his basketball, but he starts weaving in some comedy there.
Yep.
That could be
good stuff.
Very good radio. Thank you, Jen. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Many people get annoyed by calls from telemarketers or scam artists. Some try to get even. The Wall Street Journal found some examples. The goal, of course, trap the callers in a futile conversation for as long as possible. James Hoffell, a management consultant in Oxford, Connecticut, blasts his air horn into the phone. Stephen Murray, who runs a jewelry and gadget repair shop in Goldsboro, North Carolina, uses an app called RoboKiller. The app forwards these suspect calls to an answer bot that serves up a recording. You can even make your own recording, as Mr. Murray did. His recording, with designed pauses to make it sound like a live person, features him speaking in the voice of a deranged woman who pretends interest in the call but keeps interrupting to talk about spaghetti. Two guys in L.A. have a YouTube channel called Trilogy Media featuring their attempts to enrage these robocallers. In one video, one of the guys tells the scammer, "They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom." That line, paraphrased from Braveheart, was one of 29 film quotes that he slipped into the call to frustrate the scam artist. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.